Thank you for having me. Can you guys hear me well? Thank you for having me this morning. It's really a pleasure and I'm blessed to be here. Greetings from Lakeside Bible Chapel from Michigan. And I'm thankful for, I hear a lot of good things about grace and truth. And it's good nowadays to have a testimony as strong in an assembly, especially in a time that is so difficult to find assemblies like yours. So may the Lord continue to give you that vision and the word of God and the word of truth to stay strong in that path. I was contemplating as to kind of what to speak about this morning, knowing that the crowd would be different in many different stages of life. And I figured, well, let's just stick to the gospel, because I think the gospel will present itself to all ages. But I wanted to kind of concentrate on the gospel in a maybe in a different manner, in a different form, more applicable into our lifestyles, into our life today. And so I will not take full credit for this study. This study has been done by many different brothers and brethren within the assembly. And so I've been doing this study myself as well. It's a five-series study that I am trying to combine into one. And hopefully I will do it justice through the grace of the Lord. And so for me to start, I want to give you an analogy just so that I can paint the picture so that I can give you my thoughts this morning. And the analogy is this. Imagine that your life and my life was to be examined by a stranger. And this stranger has been given the study to do to understand your personal lifestyle, to understand how you behave at home, to analyze how you behave at work, to analyze how you think, to analyze your words, to analyze your spiritual life, to analyze every element of our lives. And the conclusion is not to be what do they think of us, but the conclusion of that study would be, who do they say your God and my God is? And that's a very difficult concept to think about, because you got to think of yourself from an outside perspective and start analyzing, well, what is my life like? Not only in public, but in private. What are my thoughts like? What is my behavior like, so that if this person, this stranger, were to analyze me, what would they conclude, not about me, but about my God? And I hope and pray is that as we go through this study really quickly in an overview, that the world will declare, as Nebuchadnezzar declared about Daniel, and this is what he said. He said, truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings. And Daniel, all he did was live a significant manner of life. So this morning I want to study through the life of Paul. And I want to take you with me through this journey in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1. And we will see an outside perspective of the life of Paul, and what would we conclude about who his God truly is. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. And he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If, by any means, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained, or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus had also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Amen. Really quickly, the overview that I will be focusing on this morning with you is this, the 5 points. Number one, in what did Apostle Paul find his significance and his value? What was it for Apostle Paul that from the outside looking in, Paul found his value in? Number two, looking from the outside in, what is the moral justification for the sense of guilt in Paul? There is no person on the face of this planet that doesn't have the sense of guilt. How did Apostle Paul justify that sense? Number three, looking from the outside in, Apostle Paul had a fulfilling relationship with someone. What was the nature of that relationship? There is no person on the face of this planet that is not created by God to be an unrelational being. We're all created to be relational beings. We need connection with people. We need a relationship with people. What was that relationship that Apostle Paul experienced that was ever eternally fulfilling? Number four, what was Paul's life mission? And number five, what was Apostle Paul's eternal hope? What was his destiny? And so, really quickly, I want to go over these 5 points with you. And I hope and pray, as it was such a blessing to me going through the study, I pray that through the Spirit of God, it is a blessing to you as well. Number one, what was Apostle Paul's value and significance in. I want you to notice in verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. These are some harsh words that Apostle Paul is using here. But he's talking about in verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. There were these Jewish rabbis, Jewish teachers that were coming into the church and teaching these false teach and studies to the church that they have to follow the Jewish circumcision in order for them to be Christians. And Apostle Paul here uses rough language. He says, be aware of the dogs, of the evil workers that are among you. But what really got me when I started studying this verse is the reason why these Jewish teachers were doing this. Galatians chapter 6 verses 13. You don't have to turn there. But what the Bible says is this. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. The reason why these false teachers were teaching circumcision, according to Galatians chapter 6, is because that's how they found their value and significance. So when they go back to Jerusalem and they sit down with their peers, they can boast and brag and flatter of how many people they circumcised. That was the sense of value to them. But what was the sense of value for Apostle Paul? Notice what he says. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me? All the things that were gained to me. And he mentions 7 things that were gained to him. And he can boast about. He mentions them in verses 4, 5, and 6. As a matter of fact, he can go as far to say, I am blameless. But to Apostle Paul, that was not the value and the significance of himself. And so what does he say in verse 7? But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. And I want to be very clear on this concept of loss. Loss to Apostle Paul, and through the context, and you can study it, it's not a matter of, hey, Lord Jesus, look at what I've given up just to know you. No. The concept of loss for Apostle Paul is, because of my knowledge of Jesus, I can care less about what I've lost. So, from an outside perspective, looking into the life of Paul, and we ask that question, what did Apostle Paul value himself in? What did he find significance in? It was in nothing external and everything pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. And church, my challenge for myself, not challenging anybody here, what do we find our value and significance in? What is that one thing that if I lose it today, I will no longer value myself? The intrinsic value for Apostle Paul was in nothing from the outside, And it was all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two. This sense of guilt. How did he solve this problem? If you notice, he says in verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. And this, the prime example to that verse is in Luke chapter 18, where Jesus gives us the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We all know that parable, right? But Jesus starts that parable by saying this, Luke 18:9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. So Jesus Christ is talking about people who thought they were righteous within themselves and they can clear their conscience from the sense of guilt that is in them. And therefore we hear this Pharisee saying, God, I thank you. I thank you that I am not like this tax collector. I don't steal, I don't cheat. I don't murder, I don't do this and I don't do that. And what is he doing? What he is doing, he is internally justifying himself based on the criteria that he has built within his own conscience. And then we hear the tax collector, God, have mercy on me. So Apostle Paul here says, not that I'm righteous in my own righteousness, but which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. And I present the gospel this morning. If you are feeling that sense of guilt, if you are still questioning this sense of sin in your life, Jesus Christ died for you so that he can give you his righteousness. I'm amazed with Adam. Adam sinned. The Bible says he looked at Eve and they were both naked. So what did Adam do? He created a covering made of leaves. But something unique happened after that. God walks in the garden. My question to Adam is this. If you covered yourself, why did you hide? Why were you still hiding when you covered your nakedness? Because the sense of guilt inside of us cannot be covered with man-made righteousness. So what did God do? He did a sacrifice and he covered him. So Apostle Paul, his moral righteousness was not found in the external, but it was found in the righteousness that is given through faith in Christ Jesus. Number three, verse 8. What was this fulfilling relationship that Apostle Paul experienced? Verse 8, it says, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence. In some other translations, it says this, surpassing worth. Surpassing worth.
If Apostle Paul was here, I can picture him saying this, ladies and gentlemen, I've met a man that has surpassed any worth that you can ever imagine in just simply knowing him. Notice what he says in verse 8, yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And I love this, if you want to highlight it, my Lord. A lot of times in Scripture, Apostle Paul says, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Christ, not here. Not here. Here, he makes it personal. Here, it's more intimate. Ladies and gentlemen, my Lord. Let me tell you about my Lord. Let me tell you about this relationship that I have that is surpassing any relationship that I could ever have on the face of this planet. Better than my relationship with my wife and husband? Yes, better. Better than the relationship that I have with my family? Yes, better. Exceedingly better. What type of relationships are we creating that we are so attached to? And we neglect the relationship that is so fulfilling between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. God created us to be relational beings, absolutely. And how can we give the gospel if we're not in relation with those that need the gospel? But how can I give the gospel publicly if behind closed doors, I have no relationship with the Savior? So Apostle Paul here makes it very clear, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Young brother, young sister, what relationship are you in that could surpass the relationship of having Jesus? The world today, and I love the concept that you guys are studying at night, an ungodly world, living for the gospel in an ungodly world? Is that what it was? The world today is feeding us a lie. A lie. Which is, create these networks and relationships. Social media has made this concept so big that I can have relationships all across the globe. And that's what matters to me. And yet, we lack the relationship with the Creator. For Apostle Paul, looking from the outside in, the fulfillment of his need for relationships was not found in people. It was found only in Jesus Christ. Looking from the outside in, Apostle Paul, his value was found in Jesus. His righteousness was found in Jesus. His fulfillment of relational needs was found in Jesus. Number three, his message. What was his mission? Verse 12, Philippians 3:12. not that I have already attained, or I am already perfect, but I press on. It's more of an athletic metaphor. I keep running. I press on. My eyes are on the prize, and he talks about that in the same chapter. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me.
I want you to notice the verbiage and the writing that Apostle Paul is given here.
Apostle Paul is saying, I press on, my mission in life, my message in life, my goal in life is that which Christ held of me. Jesus Christ held Paul and said, this is your mission, go out and do it.
And I love this when we read of his testimony, when he says, Saul, Saul, why have you persecuted me? And then he says, Lord, right? And the next statement out of Paul's mouth is this, what do you want me to do?
I'm ready. Now that I know that you are Lord, now that I know that who you are, the surpassing knowledge of who you are, I'm here to work for you. Tell me, what do you want me to do? Whatever that message is, whatever that mission is, no matter what the cost, I am here to do it. He has held of me. He's captured my heart with this mission.
What is your message? What is our mission? That's the challenging question today. What has Jesus Christ held of you this morning? What is he asking? For Apostle Paul, I press on for that which Christ has given me. His value was in Christ. His righteousness was in Christ. His fulfillment was in Christ. His life mission was in Christ. How about his hope?
You know, when I think of hope, I don't know how it is in Canada here. I couldn't read the statistics in Canada, but I can tell you the statistics in the West and in the U.S., and I'm sure all of you are very well aware.
When you think of hope, when you think of future, you look at our young people, right? You look at the next generation that's coming up, and you say, wow, that's the future.
That's the next generation that's coming up that's going to hold the testimony. That this is the next generation that we're going to create and build.
But you know what's ironic? Within that generation, it's the number one generation for suicide committed. Where's the hope? Where's the hope?
Notice what he says in verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and who set their mind on earthly things. That is the hope that the world is feeding us today. Take care of today. Take care of your belly today. Take care of your business today. Take care of your education today. Take care of this today. Take care of that. Not thinking of my eternity, the hope I'm concerned with today. Not Apostle Paul, though.
Notice what he says in verse 19. Verse 20.
For our citizenship is in heaven.
Yeah, I'm here today. But I'm not of this world.
Yeah, I'm passing by today.
But I am not of this world. And I love the analogy. Many brethren have used this throughout history. It's unique how Abraham never built a home. He always pitched his tent. Because Abraham never considered this to be home.
C.S. Lewis says this: hope is one of the theological virtues. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as many modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next, precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so insignificant and ineffective in this.
The more we think of the hope, as Apostle Paul, my life and my citizenship is not here, my hope is in eternity, I can be more effective for eternity here on earth.
Going back to that person that is analyzing our lives, and he's ready to draw up his conclusion and send it to the lab. And if he were to ask the question, what do you find value in? What is your message and mission in life? What is your eternal hope? What do your relationships really look like? What would he conclude, or she would conclude, about who your God is?
I can guarantee you, based off of Philippians chapter 3, if we did that study in the life of Paul, it's probably just two words. This life, this man's life is just surrounding two words: Jesus Christ. That's it. We sang the song and it just caught my attention, and I'm just going to read the verse. And that kind of solidified for me the message for today.
All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reverse and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss. Spent and worthless now compared to this.
Compared to what?
Knowing you, Jesus. Knowing you, there's no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, in my righteousness. And I love you. I love you, Lord.
Job ended his life in a major, major alteration. God took him through a journey. And he says in Job chapters 42, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear.
And what Job is basically saying there is, hey, I heard about you. I know about you. I've read about you. I've even listened about you.
But he doesn't stop there.
I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now.
Wow.
Wow.
But now my eyes have seen. May the Lord give us that courage, that discernment, the ability, and the knowledge of knowing Jesus through His excellency. Through His excellency. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that you've given us this opportunity that we can glean from your word. We can learn from you. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that, as John 15 says, there is no greater love than this, that a man lay his life down for his friends. We thank you that we are not only, as the Bible says, royal priests, kings, chosen nation, but you have made us your friends. What love is this? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. Through all of my days, I will honor you. Help us, Lord, to find our value in you. Help us, Lord, to find our significance in you. Help us to find our mission in you. Help us to find our eternal hope in you. Help us to build our relationships in you. And help us to find our righteousness, not in ourselves, but to find it through faith in you. We love you. We honor you. We ask all of this in your precious and holy name. Amen.